This is Taking Aim with
Rob Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, The Fiction of Healthcare Reform and the Medical Industrial Complex, Bought and Paid For. It's a bonanza, said Ralph Lazuski, a health insurance executive for 20 years who tracks reform legislation as president of the consulting firm Health Policy and Strategy Associates, Inc. Hallelujah is his reaction to the healthcare reform negotiations taking place in Congress. 3,300 health industry lobbyists trying to shape the new healthcare reform bill. Healthcare is the largest industry in the United States. Insurance, pharmaceutical companies, hospitals and equipment, the medical professions, and caregivers. $2.5 trillion now, almost a fifth of the gross national product. Today we have in Congress various bills, and among them, the one that's the strongest lead of Senator Baucus working through the Senate Finance Committee, is bought and paid for by the industry. Today on Taking Aim, we are going to discuss how the Congress people in the Senate and the House of Representatives and those closest to President Obama as well as President Obama himself are bought and paid for by the medical industrial complex. Ralph?
Well, Maya, when we speak about the healthcare industry and the cost of healthcare representing $2.5 trillion and trumpeted by the Democratic Party and Obama in particular as a dagger in the heart of economic survival, the cost of healthcare bankrupting the country is the mantra, and it is the rationale for maintaining the drug industry and insurance industry control over the entire process at the huge bonanza-like profiteering that flows from that. We have to bear in mind the following, and I think it's essential to put this in its immediate and proper context. $2.5 trillion represents a fraction of what was handed to the banksters. As Neil Barofsky testified in Congress, $24 trillion, $23.7 trillion, have been accounted for, and it is only the beginning of his calculation as to what has been handed over to the banks. And as I've indicated in prior shows, brothers and sisters, the European Union has acknowledged that 16 trillion pounds sterling, or $25 trillion, was given to the European banks, intertwined with the U.S. banking industry. $50 trillion have been blithely handed over to the banksters. The military-industrial complex, the addiction to arms, which is $10 trillion in a space of a couple of decades, is another measure of the real priorities in the financial-driven economy of late decaying and terminally ill capitalism. That is the context into which to understand the screaming and the shrieking about $2.5 trillion allocated for the care of health. Of course, the critical point to grasp and understand is that of that $2.5 trillion, the lion's share goes to the bought and paid for drug industry and insurance industry, not to the population.
Ralph, an article by Tom Hamburger and Kim Geiger in the LA Times, Healthcare Insurers Get Upper Hand, written August 24th, states that in the first half of 2009, the health service and HMO, that's the health maintenance organization sectors, spent nearly $35 million lobbying Congress, the White House, and federal healthcare offices. And this data came from the Center for Responsive Politics. With more than 900 lobbyists just in that sector alone, remember there are, as I mentioned before, there are 3,300 lobbyists for all aspects of the healthcare industry, including the pharmaceutical sector. These top spenders include the insurance giants, United Health, Blue Cross Blue Shield, which is under WellPoint, and Aetna. And they were poised to spend more than they spent in 2008. 2008's a record lobbying year, and now they're spending even more. United Health spent $2.5 million in the first half of 2009 already, and it's interesting to note who these lobbyists are. United Health, one of their most prominent players, is none other than Tom Daschle, who was slated by Obama to be the cabinet official for health. He's the former Senate Majority Leader, and he was the informal health policy advisor to Obama and had been slated to be Obama's cabinet official. Ralph?
Well, Maya, the Los Angeles Times piece called "Healthcare Insurers Get the Upper Hand, the End Result is a Financial Bonanza," states the following, that the lobbying efforts of the insurance and drug industry, quote, are so successful that the healthcare overhaul deliberations will result in a financial windfall. It's a bonanza, said Robert Lasuski, health insurance executive for 20 years. The insurance company leaders are, in fact, in the same cabinet discussions and the principal advisors to Barack Obama. And Lasuski said that the industry's reaction to the Obama plan is, in a single word, hallelujah. The insurer's success can be explained only in part by their lobbying efforts. The truth of the matter is that they are pushing on an open door, that these policies of the drug industry and the insurance policy industry are at the heart of Obama's intent. In fact, it is at the heart of the funding and the selection of Obama as a candidate in the first place. He is fulfilling his mission. Quote, the insurers are doing quite well, said Linda Blumberg, health policy analyst at the Urban Institute. They are having this very stable pool. They have people getting subsidies to help them buy coverage, and they will be paid the full cost of the benefits plus their administrative costs. There is no limit. There is no ceiling. One of the Democratic Party proposals that concerns insurers was the fiction of a public option insurance plan. The industry launched its campaign on Capitol Hill, grounded in a study published by the Lewin Group, owned by United Health, which stated that a government-run plan would have favorable tax and regulatory treatment that would undermine private insurers, which is, of course, is a total fiction since the process is controlled by the same drug and industry insurers. Leading insurers, including United Health, urged their employees around the country to speak out. Consequently, the army of insurance industry employees were mobilized as thugs in every public town hall hearing on the subject. Late in the spring, Blue Cross Blue Shield, the home state of the Blue Dog Democrats, prepared a series of ads attacking the so-called public option. Yes, ma'am.
Let's look at some of these ads. An article that appeared in Alternet, "It's Robbery. Healthcare Proposals in Congress Look More Like a Ripoff Than Reform" by Chris Hedges, printed on October 11th and first posted last August. In it, he refers to Dr. David Himmelstein, professor at Harvard Medical School, founder of Physicians for National Health Plan, people who propose single-payer health care, something we'll discuss further in other shows. The Himmelstein said they're using our money to campaign against us. In other words, the $5 million a day and the $20 million ad campaign, the TV ads, is money that is actually our money. Money for commercials, the money for the lobbyists, come from the healthcare interests that collect fees from American patients. He notes, we experienced this before in Massachusetts. We ran a ballot initiative for universal health care in 2000, and the insurance industry spent $5 million on it. That was just in Massachusetts to defeat universal health care. This included the insurance company that insures me. They used my premiums to smear an idea that 70% of the people in Massachusetts, according to the polls, favored, and the universal health care initiative in Massachusetts was defeated. Rick Scott, the former head of Columbia HCA, the large healthcare, managed care, and hospital company, sabotaging any plan. Scott's company was forced to pay $1.7 billion in a fraud settlement. This was the largest healthcare fraud settlement in U.S. history. And the fraud settlement was when the government caught HCA stealing hundreds of millions of dollars from taxpayers by overbilling for medical care, primarily Medicare. Scott made his money from Medicare, which is the public insurance program, and he's now saturating the airwaves in a reputed $20 million ad campaign that is stoking anger and fear of many Americans against a public solution. We should also note here that these ads opposing any public option for the extension of health care, and let us recall now that the largest health care insurance plans, Medicare and Medicaid, are government-run. The ads are coordinated by CRC Public Relations. This is the group that masterminded the famous, or let's just say infamous, Swiftboat attacks against the 2004 Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry. Ralph?
Maya, in Los Angeles Times on August 4th, Tom Hamburger writes the following. The headline is, Obama gives powerful drug lobby the seat at the healthcare table. The pharmaceutical industry, condemned during the election by the president as a source of healthcare problems, is now the White House partner. And the article reads as following. As a candidate for president, Barack Obama lambasted the drug companies for public impact and the influence they wield in Washington. He even ran a television ad targeting the industry's chief lobbyist, former Louisiana Congressman Billy Towson, and the role Towson played in preventing Medicare from lowering drug prices. Since the election, Towson has morphed into the president's closest partner. He has been invited to the White House a half dozen times in a couple of months. He secured an agreement that the administration will not overturn the very Medicare drug policy that Obama had attacked on the campaign trail. The White House has blessed it, Towson said. At the same time, Towson and the industry he represents is providing financial support for the president's key figures and their healthcare initiative. A remarkable shift. If the package passes Congress, the Los Angeles Times writes, the pharmaceutical industry has pledged $80 billion to pay for it. Towson has not only received the White House pledge to forswear Medicare drug price bargaining, but he received a separate promise from Obama that he will not allow the importation of cheaper drugs from Canada or Europe. Both of these proposals would cost the industry billions in super profits. Much of the bargaining took place at a meeting in the Roosevelt Room just off the Oval Office, a person familiar with the discussion said. Along with Towson were the chief executives of Abbott Laboratories, Merck and Pfizer, and the White House Chiefs of Staff, Rahm Emanuel, and the White House aides. And we're going to discuss in a moment the chief health care advisor to Obama, Ezekiel Emanuel, the brother of Rahm Emanuel. But before we do that, let's look at this article further with respect to the sellout of Obama. It's actually not so much a sellout as a revelation of who he actually always has been. The false hope and short change that he sold the American public. But indeed, everyone agrees that the drug companies, as this is a quote from the Los Angeles Times, everybody agrees that the drug companies have a seat at the table at the White House and on Capitol Hill. If nothing else, the president, who 6 months ago criticized the drug companies for greed, now praises their work. The pharmaceutical industry, quote, says Obama, has been very constructive, he told a small group of regional reporters last week. And the savings they put on the table are real and significant and are appreciated. The pharmaceutical industry's political transformation provides an example of Obama's approach, which includes compromise with those he had painted as a source of the problem. The benefits to the White House go beyond budget savings. Towson's Trade Association, the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, or PhRMA, is underwriting a multimillion-dollar TV advertising campaign touting the legislation of Obama. One ad resurrects Harry and Louise, the fictional couple whose caustic kitchen table comments sponsored by the health insurance industry sank the Clinton plan in 1994. This time, the drug companies are paying the bill, and Harry and Louise have changed their view, writes the Los Angeles Times. Louise says in the commercial, which is a joint project of PhRMA and Families USA, that a little more cooperation, a little less politics, and we will get the job done this time. They're getting the job done, all right. They're selling out the public, and they're putting into place the profiteering and the super exhaustive destruction of health care by the drug industry and the insurance industry. Quote, since Obama has come into office, the drug industry received everything it wants, domestic and foreign, stated James Love, who leads an international nonprofit promoting low-cost distribution of drugs to fight the world's most devastating diseases. Yes, Quote, the drug companies are getting tremendous sweetheart deals from Obama, stated Lawrence Jacobs, the University of Minnesota political science who studies the history of health reform and other major social and economic changes. But these bargains are just the price of admission. Towson, who helped found a conservative Blue Dog coalition in the House before switching to the Republican Party, was chairman of the House committee that helped shepherd Medicare drug legislation through Congress, providing the provision that the government could not interfere with price negotiations dictated by the drug industry. Towson said farmers' support for Obama's initiative represented no shift in the industry's basic philosophy. Our principles haven't changed. There's an opportunity now. We are participating as fully as we can because we see the imperative to do something. They're doing something all right, and the article makes this explicit and clear. They're taking over the entire process with the support and the blessing and the imprimatur of Barack Obama.
Ralph, you might say that President Barack Obama has made a pact with the devil. And I mean this seriously. This Medicare Part D, which was touted as an incredible benefit, big part of it, which Towson had shepherded and became part of the Medicare Part D program, was that there would be no bulk negotiating. Bulk negotiating is something that is done by all the private health insurers with the pharmaceutical companies when they have drug plans, but not so for Medicare. You're paying retail prices. When the pharmaceutical company made a concession to the White House that it would offer $80 billion discount over a 10-year period, this is nothing. Absolutely nothing in place of negotiating, bulk negotiating. I looked at the statistics of the costs of pharmaceuticals in the United States compared to cost of pharmaceuticals worldwide. Drugs represent 10% of all medical costs. Prices in the United States are 32% higher on the average than in Canada and 54% higher than in Europe. This is the result of a study done by the General Accounting Office of the United States. The United States accounts for 30% of all drug sales worldwide. So that when you talk about the prices that are set by these pharmaceutical companies and the prices that they receive in the United States, you are talking about extensive profits. In Mexico, the government decided to set the prices. That's right, price control of drugs. And drugs cost 70% less. That's why you find seniors and many other people who need vast quantities of drugs going into Mexico and buying drugs. President Obama, when he was campaigning, said that he would consider the importation of pharmaceuticals from Canada and elsewhere. And that's why Big Pharma came up with its plan, the $80 billion set off over 10 years. This represents a tiny fraction of the profits that they're going to make without the importation, the competition of drugs from outside the United States, and also without bulk negotiations. Ralph?
To understand what's going on here, Maya, we have to take a further look at what the Los Angeles Times discloses. Quote, the prescription for farmers' political activities has changed. In 2005 and 2006, during Towson's first years at Pharma, one-third of the industry's huge campaign donations went to Democrats. This year, the Democrats have picked up more of the industry's campaign cash, 54% than Republicans, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. Pharma, a reliable backer of conservative candidates and causes, a conservative here, brothers and sisters, is a euphemism for extreme right-wing, anti-immigration, anti-black, anti-welfare, anti-public support for the needs of working people. Pharma, a backer of these conservative causes, has built a grassroots support for Obama's health plan. In 4 months, the industry has spent $68 million on lobbying in Washington and stands atop the nation's lobbyist spending list. It's all going to Democrats. Bernie Sanders, the champion of importing drugs from Canada and reducing the cost of pharmaceuticals, stated the following. The drug companies are the most powerful lobby in Washington. They're at it now again, and they never lose, states Sanders. And if we look at an article called Watchdog Health Industry Giving More to Congress Than Thought by Daniel Tenser on October 1st, it becomes very clear. A joint study by two political watchdog groups has found that Senator Max Baucus, the Montana Democrat who authored the principal health care reform bill, is the major recipient of contribution clusters from drug and insurance lobbyists. The study from the Center for Responsive Politics and the Sunlight Foundation states members of Congress working on, quote, health care reform, unquote, are receiving more money from the industry than people realize. Private lobbyists are donating to politicians who have already received donations from the group these lobbyists represent. A practice which is described as, quote, contribution clusters, unquote. The, quote, never-before-seen numbers, unquote, as the Sunlight Foundation describes them, shows that Democrat Baucus collected contributions from 37 individual lobbyists representing pharma, the pharmaceutical industry's chief trade association, and from 36 individual lobbyists who list the biotech firm Amgen as their main client. 11 major insurance firms have contributed to Baucus and boost their contributions through extra donations for 10 or more other industry lobbyists. On Tuesday night, the Senate Finance Committee, which Baucus heads, voted down two proposals for a government-run public option for health care, a position completely endorsed and embraced now by Barack Obama. Baucus is third on the list for these, quote, contribution clusters, unquote, from the pharmaceutical and insurance industry, just behind Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican from Kentucky, in second place, and Senator John McCain of Arizona, who came in first, although McCain's donations have been inflated, with the Democrats receiving by now the great majority. The watchdog groups have created a graphic called Max Baucus Wheel of Contributions, which shows the senator's largest health care donor is the biotech firm Amgen. That company gave on one occasion $111,000 to Baucus, and that is only the beginning because there were other direct donations from no less than 36 other individual lobbyists. Then there's Pharma, the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, representing drug makers. They gave Baucus $89,000 plus contributions from 37 lobbyists. The members include the pharma giants AstraZeneca, Merck, and Pfizer, who donated directly and by way of, quote, contribution clusters to Baucus. Quote, there is no indication that the extra giving by lobbyists was part of a planned effort, claimed defenders. But whether coordinated or not, the cluster of lobbyists clearly illustrates the full court press that the industry has waged on Capitol Hill, concludes Daniel Tenser.
Ralph, an article, Health Industry Lobbyists Hosted at Least 130 Fundraisers for Members of Congressional Health Committees This Year by Carmen Balber and Jerry Flanagan. This is $30 million in industry money clouding the debate, says the Consumer Watchdog nonprofit, coming from Washington, D.C. The health care industry and its lobbyists, they note, have hosted at least 130 fundraisers this year for Congress members who sit on five key committees, those committees responsible for crafting a health care insurance overhaul. This analysis of the industry PACs, the political action committees, as well as individual donators, and the figure is actually more than $30 million. It's $30.7 million. They called on members of Congress to cancel all their upcoming fundraisers that are sponsored by the healthcare industry and to return any campaign contributions. Well, they can call on them, but we know that's not going to happen. At least two members of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, Representative Roy Blunt, a Republican from Montana, and Representative Nathan Deal, Republican of Georgia, have fundraisers hosted by the healthcare industry lobbyists scheduled for the days after the Consumer Watchdog made its report. Who can tell which hard decisions on health care reform are being made over $1,000 highballs shared by lobbyists and politicians while the public's locked out of the room, said Carmen Balber, who's the Washington director for Consumer Watchdog. These donations included, at the low end, $500 to attend a health care industry reception for Representative Mike Ross, a Democrat from Arkansas, last July, to a $1,500 Mexican dinner at La Loma with Senator Mike Crapo, Republican of Indiana, and a $5,000 Political Action Committee Gold Hose contribution for a breakfast event that was benefiting Senator Tom Coburn, the Republican from Oklahoma. This goes on and on. All these fundraisers that are hosted by health industry lobbyists include multiple receptions at the offices of Capital Tax Partners, whose lobbyists represent Amgen, United Health, and Pharma, of which Ralph was speaking quite a bit, the townhouse of the Patton Boggs lobbying giants, who represents the American College of Gastroenterology, the hospital coalitions, the drug makers such as Bristol-Myers Squibb, and health plans such as Christus Health. The Williams & Jensen townhouse, where pharmaceutical clients include Abbott Labs, again Amgen, AstraZeneca, Merck, Novartis, Pfizer, Roche, Takeda, and Wyeth. The list goes on and on. As they say, the members of the so-called Gang of Six, these are the prime senators who were responsible for the negotiations in the Senate Finance Committee, they alone raised $5.85 million from the health industry since 2005. Ralph.
Maya, the publication American Chronicle wrote an article that is very much in keeping with the information from the Los Angeles Times that we cited just previously. Corporate-owned Congress blocking the way for meaningful reform, the article by Bill Lindner on June 26 of this year. Americans' problems with health care and with financial reform, as well as with many other issues that plague this country, can be attributed to an ethically and morally corrupted Congress bought off by corrupted corporations, the large monopolistic corporations whose millions of customers pay exorbitant charges in more ways than none, and which has enabled the richness of the select few at the expense of the great many. Healthcare, health insurance, pharmaceutical, oil, defense, telecom, automotive, financial, biotech, railroads, life insurance, as well as large lobbying groups such as APEC, have contributed multiple millions of dollars to all members of Congress. President Obama's promise of putting an end to lobbying on Capitol has turned out to be nothing more than another lie, writes Lindner. The bribe money given to Congress does not include such perks as money spent by the top drug and insurance companies on congressional trips and other perks, including gifts. America's cascading crises, as noted by Robert Perry, are traced to excessive tax cuts and an absence of any regulation of the banking and financial industry. And he goes on to add the following. The most bribery has been mounted by the drug and insurance companies. They openly admit that they have purposely canceled insurance, denied claims of gravely ill Americans, and praise employees for terminating policies of customers with expensive illnesses. These same insurance companies state that the only way they can make money is to deny claims for patients with expensive illnesses, and they have integrated this program into the health care project that has been promoted by Barack Obama, and particularly with respect to Medicare and Medicaid and the removal of almost $700 billion from those same two agencies. In addition to accepting these contributions, Congress, he writes, has given itself $4 billion for expenses, quote-unquote. That works out to $6.9 million for each of its 535 members. It's a very detailed article. Two-thirds of Americans want a public option on health insurance. 72% of the American people, according to the Times CBS poll, favor offering everyone a government-administered health insurance plan, such as Medicare. But the industry that bribes the Congress, that literally pays them huge amounts of money, is calling the shots.
This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, The Fiction of Healthcare Reform and the Medical Industrial Complex, bought, and paid for. Ralph, the statistics are incredible. We had mentioned before lobbying in 2009 being at the incredible rate of over $5 million a day, almost $6 million a day, and $30.5 million. But the figures, when added up by other organizations, come out even more. For the healthcare, health insurance, and pharmaceutical companies, the rate that is cited in the American Chronicle is over $41 million, $41,480,134,000 only in the first quarter of 2009, an incredible figure. The lobbying of Congress by all sectors, the automotive companies, the oil industry, the financial service companies, the biotech companies, the railroads, the life insurance. If you add it up, it comes to $242,943,071. That's almost a quarter of $1 billion given to Congress members in only the first quarter of 2009 by the lobbyists. An incredible figure. So this is how Congress, the president, the cabinet members are bought and sold.
Well, let's look at this with a little more particularity, Maya. An extraordinary statement by Senator Chuck Grassley, the Republican from Iowa, who stated that 119 million Americans, two-thirds of the population, want a public option on health insurance. Therefore, he concludes, a public option is not an option because that will damage the insurance industry. The majority of Americans want out of the private insurance racket, as it's described, because of the industry's not only overinflated costs and profits, but its destruction of actual health care coverage. So what is the conclusion? Given the sentiment of the population, the insurance industry cannot allow and will not permit the will of two-thirds of the public to be implemented. Consequently, what are the mechanisms through which this is achieved? One senator was handed a check for $3.4 million from the drug companies. Since the 1990 election cycle, the drug companies and insurers have given 25 members of the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation $3.3 million each in campaign contributions. John Kerry collected $680,200 personally. Rockefeller of Virginia, $141,000. Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson of Texas, $119,000 from these same pharmaceutical and insurance industry groups. Members of Congress received $39.5 million from the insurance industry. Chris Dodd was the highest benefactor, the head of the Senate Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee. He received $767,800. John Boehner, Republican of Ohio, $730,260. Barack Obama received $1.3 million from the insurance industry personally. And $1.4 million if you include the Blue Cross Blue Shield contribution. Auto, home industry, and life insurance and companies contributed $35.7 million to members. Representative Melissa Bean, a Democrat from Illinois, received $358,000. The list is extraordinary. Representative Barney Frank, head of the House Financial Services Committee, was handed a check for $342,796. A list of the 10 top Senate and House recipients of insurance contributions is available in the article from the Insurance Journal. A report as well is available from Consumer Watchdog that lists the total contributions to each member of Congress. Many of the corporations mentioned above try to outdo themselves in competing. They have compiled a list of the top 100 companies ranked by the amount they spent on individual congressmen in the first quarter of 2009. Not included in the top 100 is American International Group, AIG. $1.25 million spent by AIG on contributions to individual congressmen. congresspeople in the first quarter of 2009. It's an extraordinary documentation. What we have here is a capitalist dictatorship in which these nominal representatives are simply paid, bribed agents of the drug industry, the insurance industry, of the corporate capitalist complex itself. There are nominal laws, you know, brothers and sisters, against, quote, bribing or handing emoluments or contributions to foreign officials in order to facilitate a contract. Of course, this goes on without any reprisal, but the fundamental point is that is the daily, normal, standard operating procedure in what passes for the facade of an elected Congress. Billions of dollars from the top 100 largest corporations in the first quarter of 2009 by industry. Healthcare, health insurance, pharmaceutical companies spent $41,480,134,000 in the first quarter of 2009 simply on individual congressmen. The oil companies, $30,900,000. The defense industry, $19,020,000. The telecommunications, $16,494,000. The automotive industry, including General Motors, $9,694,000. The financial services industry, $14,389,917,000. Biotech companies, $5,857,000. Railroads, brothers and sisters, $250,000,000 given to individual members of Congress in the first quarter of 2009. That's money they receive on top of their salaries. The large companies and their lobbyists and individuals own the Congress, which is why the public has absolutely no gain, no benefit, no input, no consequence of any of the nominal legislation before it. And nowhere is this more apparent than in the facade, the charade of health care as it's being presented to the public through these bought and paid for agents, corrupted, purchased people that call themselves representatives of the public.
Ralph, I want to make a little aside here with one example from the pharmaceutical industry. I talked about the great profitability of the health industry, and particularly the pharmaceutical industry. In a five-part series, a revealing five-part series that appeared in the Philadelphia Inquirer in 1993 and holds true today, entitled Making Medicine, Making Money. Pharmaceuticals, the Philadelphia Inquirer noted, are the most profitable businesses in the United States. If you look at this in terms of return on equity, return on sales, and return on assets. Remember, drugs represent 10% of all medical costs. In the Making Medicine, Making Money, they referred to one particular example, and that is the ulcer medicines. Many of them are over-the-counter, and about 100 million people in the United States are taking some form of antacid or ulcer medication because of, I will say, outright poor eating habits. That's another story that we'll get to in detail on Taking AIM as we address the issues of healthcare reform. But let's look at some of these medications. Tagamet was introduced in the United States in 1977 by Smith Kline, which, with the great consolidations of the pharmaceutical companies, is Smith Kline Beecham. For 6 years, it had a lock on the market because of the effectiveness of Tagamet. Then in 1983, Glaxo Pharmaceuticals introduced Zantac and charged a premium because of their claim that it had fewer side effects. Soon others entered the market, but this didn't create competition, even though we had these big giant pharmaceutical companies introducing other medications. In 1986, Merck introduced Pepcid. In 1988, Eli Lilly introduced Axit. And as I mentioned, the companies did not compete on price. Zantac became the biggest selling drug in the history of the pharmaceutical industry. In 1991 alone, $3 billion sales, $3 billion sales on just Zantac, and Tagamet came in at 13 with $1 billion. Now, this is before these medications were over the counter. With all the advertising they have been producing, dollars rolling in for these pharmaceutical companies. How do the pharmaceutical companies work? They dominate different segments of the market. based on the patents that they develop. And in some sectors, they control 50% or more of some of the market for a specific medication. With some of the exotic medications for cancer and other ailments, the cost would be $5,000, $10,000, $40,000 a month. You can see how the profits really roll in. Now, the pharmaceutical industry say, well, that there's the high cost of research and development. However, research and development comprise maybe 16%, and much of that is underwritten by the government through subsidies to universities and direct subsidies to the pharmaceutical companies themselves. A study by Stephen Schondelmeyer, who's both an economist and a pharmacist at the University of Minnesota, his study in 1989 estimated that 22%, almost one quarter of a drug's cost, is actually the money that is spent on marketing that pharmaceutical. Ralph.
Okay, Maya, I think it's to hammer home this point because it is an extraordinarily fundamental one, because we will, in the subsequent programs on this subject, brothers and sisters, elucidate what exactly is meant by the public sector plan of the so-called healthcare reform. We will examine what is intended to be done to Medicare and to Medicaid, the cutting of almost $700 billion from them that Obama is attempting to sneak through. But before we deal with the particulars of the so-called healthcare plan, I want to elaborate upon what we were discussing just now. Here is Senator Max Baucus, the leading architect of health care reform, receiving more industry contributions than any other congressional candidate. As outlined by Carmen Balber and Jerry Flanagan, health insurers and drug companies gave a combined $6.1 million to the top 10 recipients in each House of Congress since 2005. This is a study released by the nonprofit Consumer Watchdog. Health insurers contribute $2.7 million to the top 10 members, and it goes into each individual one. Then, here is a chart. Health industry fundraisers for members of congressional health committees. For the Senate Finance Committee, there were 11 individual fundraisers for all members of that committee, Republicans and Democrats. The Senate Health, Education, and Labor and Pensions Committee, 18 individual fundraisers for each member. House Education and Labor, 10 fundraisers. House Energy and Commerce Committee, 43 fundraisers. 130 fundraisers, and these are from the health industry, for Senate Finance, Senate Health, House Education and Labor, House Energy and Commerce, House Ways and Means Committee, a total of 48 fundraisers for other committees are bearing upon health care and upon the plans for the provision of care for the population apart from health. This is a purchase project, brothers and sisters, and that is what informs the statement and article by Bernie Sanders in Alternet, Unfiltered, United States Congress, bought and paid for. Sanders, on the 25th of September, wrote, "People have lost their savings. People have lost their homes. Despite the greed and illegal behavior of Wall Street, there is massive effort to make sure that Congress does nothing about it. You know what? That is going to be the result." And he says, how is it that we pay by far the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs? How does it happen we are the only country on earth that doesn't in one way or another regulate the cost of drugs to prevent the reality that when you walk into the drugstore tomorrow, the price you are paying will be doubled? It has to do with the fact that since 1998, the pharmaceutical industry has spent $1.6 billion on lobbying and bribes. They have employed more than two lobbyists for every member of Congress. What about health care? Why are we the only country in the industrialized world that does not have a national health care plan guaranteeing health care to all? How is it that in the health care bill that's now being debated in the Finance Committee, the private insurance companies and drug companies are calling the shots? It has something to do with the fact that since 1990, the healthcare industry has spent $850 million in individual campaign contributions to these Congress people. Why is it that we have record-breaking defense budgets despite the end of the Cold War? Well, the defense industry has spent more than $447 million on individual contributions. Big Oil, the same story. ExxonMobil makes record-breaking profits. Working people pay high prices at the gas pump. Do you think it has something to do with the fact that the oil and gas industry has spent $830 million on individual contributions? And on it goes. The reality of Washington is that those people who have the money call the shots and determine public policy. Big money controls the agenda. If you don't have the money, you get to the end of the line. That's the reality today. The Supreme Court is considering a case that will be used to open the coffers of all the big corporations to directly fund campaign ads in the United States. The antidote is not merely public funding of elections, but removing these people so they no longer control, purchase, and own the Congress of the United States. This is Bernie Sanders, who is essentially a liberal, but there is no escaping the conclusion that arises from this documentation, brothers and sisters. Capitalism is incapable of meeting our needs, and the health industry is but the little expression of this. Insurance Journal. The Insurance Journal, brothers and sisters. Which members of Congress got insurance money in the last two elections? It's proudly documenting how it paid for House Services, Financial Services Committee Chairman, Representative Barney Frank, Vice Chair Representative Spencer Backus of Alabama, individually received $342,796 and $312,550,000, respectively, from the insurance industry. Bought and paid for.
Ralph, I don't think we can look to the courts for any assistance in investigating the health insurance and the pharmaceutical industry. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled at some point in the past that drug companies don't have to open their books, saying that the pricing information is proprietary information. This goes to the issue of how much the drug companies are raping the people of the United States with the excess cost of a pill and of necessary or essential, what is considered essential medication. I'd like to address in the closing moments of Taking Aim what can be done. For years, I, for one, as many people, had been working for single payer. And single payer is not the ultimate solution, which would be a public health system, nationalized health care. But what single payer does is eliminate the administrative costs, the high administrative costs, the profiteering of insurance companies, and essentially you have the socialization of health insurance with the private medical care. On September 29th in New York City, the Mobilization for Healthcare for All launched a national campaign, Patients Not Profits, with sit-ins at insurance companies. The Mobilization for Healthcare for All was created by the Center for the Working Poor, Healthcare Now, national group that has been lobbying for single payer and educating people, then Prosperity Agenda. And endorsing groups have come on board, such as the Black Agenda Report, Code Pink, and the Labor Campaign for Single Payer. On their website, read about the Patients Not Profits sit-ins as they write. Together, through this campaign, we can turn the tide and win the fight for health care for all. To succeed, we need to organize sit-ins in as many cities as possible in the month of October. The campaign began in New York City on September 29th and continues in Chicago on October 8th and in cities across the country on October 15th. After the 15th, we will continue to organize actions in as many cities as possible until we win healthcare reform that ensures that the insurance companies no longer stand between the American people and the healthcare that we need. It's time to cut out the profit and put patients first with what they term Medicare for All. Ralph?
Maya, when you were the communications director for SEIU Local 250, the Healthcare Workers Union, you compiled data that I utilized in drawing upon your research in an article at the time in 1998. I'm going to cite briefly from it. While the healthcare of the workers of the world is in crisis mode, what are the compensation reaped by the health conglomerates and their corporate controllers? Richard L. Scott of Columbia HCA received $266 million in 1 year. Peter Nicholson of Boston Scientific Corporation got $231 million in 1 year. David Jones of Humana Inc. obtained $194 million. Leon C. Hirsch of U.S. Surgical Company was paid $105.8 million. That was just the salary. Leonard Abramson of U.S. Healthcare received stock options of $11.4 million and outright stock holdings of $783.9 million. His total compensation package was $805,122,045. These payments are across the board amongst corporate conglomerates. They are documented in the special report as well in Business Week for April 20, 1998. CNN on March 20, 1998 described the following. 10 million children die each year from contaminated waters in the countries from which the greatest profits are generated. 1/5 of the world's population lacks potable water. The World Health Organization estimates that over the next 2 decades, 7 million will die from a form of tuberculosis curable by a single administration of an antibiotic. 1 billion people will be infected. The health of the workers of the world is in crisis mode, and brothers and sisters, that is the character of a system. It is not the little corruption of Barack Obama that illuminates this reality. It's the fundamental war on the mass of our people by a system called capitalism that must be removed, brothers and sisters, by mass struggle, by organized program, by a new social and economic order. Before that and until that, the little assaults will be major assaults, the wars will be wars at home, and the crisis will deepen, and the mass of our population will suffer enormously.
Ralph, let's fast forward from those statistics to the current day. A new study that was published in the American Journal of Public Health by leading researchers at Harvard Medical School, including Dr. Himmelstein and Steffi Woolhander, the report, The Health Insurance and Mortality in United States Adults, reveals that one person every 12 minutes, five people every hour, 120 people a day, and that accumulates to 45,000 people a year, die not from war, not from natural disaster in the United States, but from the lack of health insurance. The fact that the uninsured have a 40% higher risk of death than those with insurance means that these 45,000 deaths are preventable deaths. Increasingly, this group includes nearly all lower income and a growing majority of middle class Americans. The Institute of Medicine estimated in 2002 that more than 18,000 Americans between the ages of 19 and 64 were dying each year as a result of being uninsured. The new number is 2.5 times that figure. Think about that. A 2.5 times increase since 2002. The growing numbers of the uninsured, the risk of death multiplying. Think of what this means. The United States, one of the most industrialized nations in the world, 42nd in the world for life expectancy, and it's ranked last among the 19 most developed countries, the 19 countries of the OECD. In preventable deaths that should not occur in the presence of timely and effective health care. Ralph.
My Vanity Fair on the 24th of September published an article called The Sick Business of Healthcare Profiteering. On page 7 of that article, the following statement is made. Obama's plan is a boon to hospital owners and hospital equipment makers. The expected spending will affect the top-line growth of the so-called healthcare providers, according to the rating agency Moody's assessment. Insurance companies stand to do exceptionally well. There will be an extra $1 trillion of revenue for insurers on the basis of Obama's plan. $1 trillion of further profiteering, Vanity Fair, the sick business of healthcare profiteering. Brothers and sisters, this is the nature and the face of the enemy of our population, brothers and sisters. In the name of reform, we are being seduced and conned and co-opted and diffused as a public in rage over the deprivation of our fundamental care and ability to survive. That is the gravamen of this program, and it will be an ongoing series.
Again, check out mobilizeforhealthcare.org. This has been Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, The Fiction of Healthcare Reform and the Medical Industrial Complex, Bought and Paid For. We'll be on our website, www.takingaimradio.com. Please contact us at takingaim@pacbell.net.
Biggie, biggie.